The harried young mother sits at the kitchen table. She does not care that her forearm is stuck in a half-dried pool of apple juice. It is nap time, the blessed hour of peace in an otherwise chaotic home. She surveys the wreckage that was only this morning an orderly family room. Toys are flung helter-skelter. Cereal crumbs are crushed into the recently vacuumed carpet. A banana peel is languishing on the arm of the sofa. She's teetering on the verge of despair. She sighs when she recalls the pitying glances and whispered conversations she overheard last Sunday night after she had wrestled with her little son all through service. What that little one needs is a firm spanking. He runs his mother ragged. It's a shame. He's headed for trouble.
Good spanking? I can't spank my little one. I love him too much.
And then the Holy Ghost speaks to the young mother's weary heart. He who spares his rod hates his son, but he that loves him chastens him often. Do not be deceived, daughter. You do not love your son if you do not discipline him early and diligently. Chasten your son while there's hope, and let not your soul spare for his crying. There is still great hope for him, for he is young, but hope will fade later on if you neglect correction.
But Lord, he's just young, and his tantrums, it's just childishness.
Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction will drive it far from him, comes the patient reply of the Holy Ghost.
But would you have me be cruel and hit my son?
Withhold not correction from the child, for if you spank him with a rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt strike him with a rod and deliver his soul from hell. You are cruel if you do not chastise him in love, which is necessary to keep him from perishing. How patiently the Lord speaks to our human folly.
But if I spank him, Lord, I'll stifle his creativity. I want him to be able to express himself.
On the contrary, my daughter, comes the Holy Ghost's response, the rod and reproof give wisdom.
But won't he turn from me when he's older?
But the Holy Ghost says, correct your son, and he will give you rest. He will bring delight to your soul. It is correcting him early and bending him in the way that he should go that will bring delight to your soul. This is your promise, dear one, but be warned. A child left to himself brings his mother to shame. Well, thank you, Jesus. I think you know what we're going to talk about. Correction, chastisement, rebellion, how to deal with these things. And I think if you're like us, you had a lot of questions regarding this. And from the scripture, I'm going to pull out everything I talk about today. Everything I've talked about is from the scripture, but there's a lot of scripture on this particular subject. But how many of us actually obey the scripture in this area? And we're going to talk about it. A mother loves her child most divinely, not when she surrounds him with comfort and anticipates his wants, but when she resolutely holds him to the highest standards and is content with nothing less than his best. Chastisement is done for correcting in love and restoring relationship. Hitting in anger to punish and hurt because you've been put out is punishment and is abusive and wrong. You see, it's not right to punish a child. That's punitive. But what we are instructed to do is correct them. I'm going to say this over and over, and if you get this part on parenting, grandma, grandpa, mom, dad, young mother that will be, if you get this overarching goal, you will not have a problem with chastisement and correcting your children in love biblically and raise them up right. So I'm going to repeat it often, and you're going to have it down before we leave here today, and that is this, that the whole goal behind parenting and behind correcting a child is restoring relationship. It's all about restoring relationship. And if you see how the Heavenly Father is with us, we breach our relationship with Him. We make a mistake. We sin. We do wrong. He's not wanting to hurt us. He's wanting to restore that relationship. And that's what repentance is about. We come to the altar and we say, God, I'm so sorry. I want to be right. And He forgives us. And He restores. The relationship's not breached anymore. There's a clear channel now between you and Him, because His blood covers a multitude of sin. And that whole goal of restoring relationship is always in the forefront of our minds when we're disciplining and bringing up our children. Restore relationship. Everybody said restore relationship. That's the goal. There's two types of rebellion we talk about in our book, but I want to talk about it now, and that is active rebellion and passive rebellion. Active rebellion is the most obvious. I mean, it's easy to see. You know, you can have it displayed in the grocery store or at home or wherever. It's obvious to everyone when you see active rebellion. And it's the kind that's willful and knowingly refusing to obey parental commands or established rules. Defiantly saying, no, I'm not going to do it. Or throwing a temper tantrum or showing disrespect. You've seen it all. You've seen this displayed by, you know, exhibited by parents and children alike to each other, just where there's disrespect and verbal dissent. Pouting and screaming and stiffening up. Those are all active rebellion. You can see it. It's plainly seen. Resisting parent-led actions, jerking the hand away when you go to hold their hand. They jerk it away. Or going limp when the parent goes to take them, you know, by the hand. They'll just go limp, so you have to pick them up. And it's very obvious that there's rebellion. You can see it. Venting anger on objects, kicking or throwing things, and hitting their head on the wall or slamming their door, it's all obvious. You can see the rebellion. You sense it. You're around it. You can just see it. Angry words are even more obvious. I mean, it's in your face, because I hate you, mommy. I hate you, daddy. They're venting their anger at you. And you're mean. What a jerk. I wish I wasn't your son. Or just those are active. You can just see the rebellion. It seethes and just there. Or even hitting a parent. I've seen children, we've all seen children hit a parent. That's active rebellion. And you know what the Bible says about rebellion? It's as witchcraft. God sees it as witchcraft. He doesn't allow it in His kingdom. And so we have to go to work right away at getting it out of our homes and resolving it in our homes as that being a problem. But the more subtle kind of rebellion, again, that was active, but the more subtle and devious and not easy to see, not obvious, it's more under the current, it's under the surface, you don't see it very easily. It's still rebellion, though. This is the thing. Rebellion is rebellion, whether it's obvious or not obvious, it's rebellion. And they include delayed obedience. I'll be there in a minute, Mom. That's delayed obedience. After I finish this puzzle, I'll come to you. That was delayed obedience. A child bargains or negotiates. I will if, or can I do it later? They just ignore instructions. They just, you know, you're talking to them or telling, you know, take out the garbage, Johnny. And he just ignores you. You know he hears you. He has good hearing, but he just ignores you. He doesn't care. He probably knows there's not a consequence to his rebellion, so he'll just continue to do that. Conditional obedience. Why? Well, Joey has to do it too then. I'm not going to do it unless Sally does it. So it's conditional on something else. Well, if you'll give me an ice cream, I'll do it. So it's conditional on something else. Obeying with a bad attitude, stomping away or sighing or grumbling or crying while complying. Listen, if you've asked them to take out the garbage, son, please take out the garbage. Give me that garbage, and that's not complying. I mean, that's not obedience. That's complying with a bad attitude. We should go to work right on. That's a root of bitterness. We got to get that out of there. Doing the job halfway or not to the acceptable standard of quality that you expect. And, you know, if you've trained them and shown them what, you know, what you expect and how you want the lawn mowed or things done, and they just continue to just be lazy about it, not, that's passive rebellion. It's not caring about your instructions or doing things like you've asked them to do it. Listen, time out does not train children. I'm just telling you, time out will not train your children. I don't see it in the Bible. Does anybody have a scripture for that? Time out. God says, time out. No. It's either you're obedient or you're not. You comply or not. So I want to talk about what do we do now? Remember when I talked about earlier today about when we went to our godly heroes and we asked them how and why, and, well, honey, just raise them up and they'll be okay. But how do you do it? We want to know the steps. And we saw that later on, and I didn't mention this, later on we saw that, wow, you know, we thought that they were going to turn out okay, but it was almost a flip of the coin. Because they kind of went through church and through life, even though they're raised in church, that we wondered, why did they fall away? Why all of a sudden the rebellion? Well, later on we saw through counseling and other, because of the dynamics of being closer to the situation and the family, that there was a lot of rebellion that went on in the household that we didn't know about. They had a good face at church and other places, but there was a lot of undercurrent rebellion that went unchecked, not taken care of. God's not that way. Your sin will find you out, Bible says. He doesn't let it go untaken care. You know, he takes care of it. So as parents, we need to have a good eye for active and passive rebellion. And again, we're not time out. That's not a Christian way to parent. We're going to talk about how to chastise, maybe when to chastise, how old, all those things. These are the things that I had questions about. How do you do all this stuff? It's easy to say, well, just take care of the children and do it biblically, but I'm going to give you step by step. And this is from hours and hours of, again, counseling and reading and digging it out of the scripture to give you a formula that works. Okay? It works because it's Bible. Number one, there's five steps to chastisement. Number one, take the child calmly to a place of cleansing. We call it cleansing because that's what it does. Chastisement for the present seemeth to be grievous, but afterwards it yields a peaceable fruit of righteousness to them that are exercised thereby. It brings peace and calm when it's done correctly. Your attitude of self-control is critical here, because you as the parent are as much a part of this whole process as the child being corrected. Your attitude is very important when you chastise. Don't be a hypocrite by losing self-control if you're trying to teach self-control. How's that? We want to exhibit self-control because we want them to have self-control. Don't wait till you're at the end of your rope. Many times parents are frustrated and they take it personal. Their children's disobedience they take personal because they let it go until the point of, okay, you know, 1, 2, 2.5, 2 3/4. All right, now, you know, and they lash out and they get upset, and because they've not wanted instant obedience. When I ask my children to do something, I expect a calm and a cheerful yes, sir, and they go do it. And if they don't do that, then we work on the attitude. We work on the attitude. But this is the key. I want to mention this. This is the key to this part of it. You're an ambassador. You're carrying out orders. You know, God's given you the instruction to carry out to your children. If you're taking it personal, their disobedience to you, then you're going to be punitive. You're going to punish them. But if you say, honey, I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. I don't, you know, I've wept before I've chastised my children, because I don't want to have to do this, but I have to, honey. I'm obeying the Lord. I'm having to chastise because of disobedience. You see what I mean? And I'm not angry about it. I'm just grieved. Chastisement for the present seemeth to be grievous. It is a grieving thing. But at the same time, I'm not angry and upset because I haven't taken it personal. Their disobedience is their disobedience. Do you see? Even if they're disobedient to you, you don't have to take it personal. They're sinners. They're shaping an iniquity, born in sin. Shaping iniquity, right? They're born speaking lies. We're just taking care of what we knew was going to come out anyway. Right? So it's easy to take it more without taking it personal. Do not humiliate them in front of others. You're taking them to a place to chastise them. I don't let everybody know that they're being chastised. I don't, you know, we, honey, you said no to mommy, come on. But daddy, well, honey, you've disobeyed. So I take them to a place where I can close the door and we're quiet, we're able to talk, you know, and chastise. You know, publicly humiliating a child will never encourage him to make positive change. If you humiliate a child, you're never going to bring positive change and bring love and respect to that home. It's only going to provoke them. The Bible says, provoke not your children to wrath. You can provoke them by the way you chastise them. Because maybe you're hitting them and abusing them rather than chastising them in love. That's provoking, right? Be calm. If you cannot be calm, walk away. Never chastise in anger. Never chastise, because that you're the ambassador. You're there to take care of the disobedience. And why are we there again? What's the main overarching goal? Restore relationship. Why are we there? Restore relationship. So if I go into that place of cleansing with the idea that I'm restoring relationship, isn't my attitude different? Because before we leave, I want them hugging and smiling and, okay, son, let's go out and try again. See what I mean? I'm restoring relationship. I want to say this over and over too. What am I trying to do? I'm trying to launch them. I'm trying to pull myself out of the picture eventually as their earthly father, so the heavenly father can take over and they understand chastisement. They understand that God loves them and he's correcting them so that they have a proper relationship with him. It's all about restoring a ministry of reconciliation, a word of reconciliation, Second Corinthians 5:17. It's all about reconciling a broken and a breached relationship. That's what this is all about. That's what God's relationship with us is all about. It's about restoring relationship and maintaining that restored relationship of love and communion and an ability to talk with the King of Kings, and I'm a child, and there's a clear channel between me and him, and I can tell him my problems, and I can tell him my victories, and I can ask him to help me, and there's just that communion that I have with my Heavenly Father. Well, that's what I'm trying to establish with my children. I'm wanting them to be able to look away from their earthly father someday and see that there's a healthy relationship between him and their heavenly father. Many times if a child is abused and they're incorrectly punished and they have a real problem growing up and having an understanding of God loves them and that he forgives them. Parents that don't forgive their child and walk away with their happiness and everything's better now and I forgive you, honey, are going to have a problem with realizing that their heavenly father forgives them. Would you agree? Number two, the second step of how to chastise, remember, taking them place to cleanse and quiet, I mean, by themselves, maintaining their dignity. You know, it's just you and that person, and again, we're restoring relationship. Number two, be sure the child understands what the infraction is. Ask them what they did, not why they did it. It's interesting to me that God asked Adam and Eve what they did. He knew, but he wanted them to take responsibility for what they did. Isn't that interesting? God knew what they did, But he asked what they did so they would take responsibility. He didn't ask why. They were already blaming, right? Can you imagine asking them why they did it? They would just be, well, the serpent did this, and Eve told me that I would love the fruit, and it's a good thing, and I'd have knowledge because the serpent said. It would be in this endless expose, endless conversation about and getting nowhere because they're not taking responsibility. So never ask them why they hit their sibling. Well, they hit them because they're sinners. because they're fools. The Bible says foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction will drive it far from them. But they're little fools. That's why they did it. So so ask what they did. See, if they start taking responsibility when they're two and they're three, what did you do, son? I hit sissy. Yes, you did, honey. If you ask why, well, she made me angry, and you'll just listen to this. It'll be long discourse on, and again, not getting anywhere. But get them to take response. Remember Matthew 7? Even if they were 5% at fault, they still did wrong, didn't they not? I always tell my children when they would say, well, I hit sissy. But she, honey, it doesn't matter what she did right now. I'm talking to you. I'll talk to sissy in a minute. But I'm right now, what did you do? Well, I hit her. Is that acceptable in our home? No. Is it the right thing to do? No. Okay, well, that's why I'm chastising you, honey. Because you hit your sissy. I'll take care of her in a minute. But right now, we're taking responsibility. Wouldn't it be a neat thing to have a society filled with people, a church filled with people that take responsibility? You start early teaching them responsibility. It teaches respect. Chastise them, number three. That's the next thing that happens. After they've taken responsibility, they've said, this is what I did. And if they want, and you may be chastising for lying. If you know that they did and they're not taking responsibility, you may go through that and then chastise them again for the infraction of hitting. Now they've added more on if they've lied to you, see? And we'll talk about that too. But the third one is, again, chastise. The scripture clearly teaches the use of the rod, not the hand. This is an instrument of love. If I hit with this, and then I reach out with my child another moment to stroke their head or to pat them on, they're going to be flinching and scared. That's not what this was intended for. That's why the Bible says the rod and reproof. It becomes an objective instrument, something that can be placed in a drawer or on a shelf or whatever, but it's disconnected from you. The purpose of that rod is to restore relationship. And it's a powerful thing, we'll talk more. Remember, this is an instrument of love and affection, and the rod is clearly taught in the scriptures. The rod is for the fool's back, the rod of correction, the rod, it's chastised with the rod, all that. The rod in our society, I don't know what it is like here, but in California, you can't leave marks on a child 24 hours after, they can't, so you got to be really careful in some places. I don't know what the laws are here, but I know this, is that we use a little textile, little instrument that's kind of a leather, pretty thick little piece of, material, and it's flexible, and it's about this long. I don't know, what's that, about 8 inches, 10 inches? And it stings. It stings a lot, but it doesn't leave marks, and it's just enough. Listen, you want pain changes somebody's direction, will it not? If you touch something that's hot, you don't touch it anymore because pain is a reminder that I don't want to do that again. Pain's not a bad thing. Pain can be it can tell you that something, you might be getting a disease or something, that if a pain might be an indicator that you need to go have it checked out, or you see what I mean? Pain's a good, it can be a good thing. For chastisement, it's a wonderful thing because it's biblical and it brings about restoring that relationship. Remember, if you're chastising, I don't allow protest or fighting. If they don't kneel down there and I maintain their dignity while we're doing this. In other words, if they're a little older, 8, 9 years old, maybe 10, then for my little girl, she'll keep her underwear on. I want to maintain the dignity between daddy and my child. Do you understand? And that's something that a parent, you need to know your child more than I do. But the main thing is restoring relationship, right? So if I breach dignity, that dignity that they have, self-respect, and they feel uncomfortable, then you want to be sensitive to that. Does that make sense? I can't delineate everything. Some of it has to be parental understanding and wisdom as a parent. But remember, if they're fighting, they're exhibiting a lack of self-control. Why? What am I trying to teach again? Self-control with an overarching goal of restoring relationship. So if they don't have the self-control, we go back through it sometimes. We've went through chastisement, and I always let them know how many swats they're going to get. Son, you said no to mommy. You're going to get 5 swats. They know what's coming. It's going to still be painful. So they anticipate everything's clear. It's up front. They know what. And if they protested or fought during that, for the first couple swats, oh, honey, after that 5, we're going to do it again. And you just created more pain for the situation. Just because, and I'm that calm when I say it. Honey, I don't want to do this, but, chastisement for the present seemed to be, I grieve over that, but I do it. And they'd look at me like, but if you, I know they're probably thinking, yeah, sure, you really want to do it or you wouldn't do it again. No, they don't, they understand later. They grow in wisdom later. Remember, chastisement for the present. You're still going to grieve, but you're still going to go through the process, okay? Number 4, reprove. The rod and reproof give wisdom. The rod and reproof give wisdom. What do we want? We want them to be self-controlled, wise, and responsible. They took responsibility for their action. Right? They're growing in wisdom because we're chastising and reproving. I want to tell you what reproving does. The rod and reproof give wisdom because the Bible says that the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, and it divides asunder even soul and spirit, and it gets in where nothing else will. There is nothing more powerful and appropriate for the time than chastisement done correctly. I'm telling you, you feel the Holy Ghost when you do it right because they're tender, they're easily bendable and they're moldable. They want to. In fact, after it's done, they want to reach out and give you a hug. And mom and dad, if that's what you want, don't ever turn away your child because you took it personal if you've turned them away. What's the goal? The overarching goal? What have you accomplished when that happens? They want to reach out and they want to love you and, oh, honey, I forgive you. Everything's going to be okay now. And we'll go out and try again. If I asked them to take the garbage out and they said no and they got chastised for it, we'll try it again because it's training, right? We try it until they do it right. So even after chastisement, we go through it. Let's try it again. And son, please take out the garbage. Yes, sir. It's amazing how quickly they're real excited and do it right. But listen, don't rush past the opportunity of reproving. Because the rod and reproof, and listen, when I'm chastising them, and they're maybe bent over my knee as a young child, and I'll have they're bent over, and I have my rod, my little textile instrument, and I'll say, honey, wham, and it stings. And they flinch and their eyes are shut and they're not. Honey, you stay looking down. You stay calm or you'll get more. Okay, Daddy. And I'll say, honey, when Daddy asks you or Mommy asks you to take out the garbage or do something, you say yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Bam. And see, I'm reproving as I'm chastising. And they're hearing those words. I'm not harshly lecturing. I'm not making it long and, you know, be appropriate for the age of the child. Honey, always say yes to Mommy when she asks you to, boom, do something. Because Mommy loves you. Boom. You see what I mean? And, oh, yes, Daddy, yes, Daddy, yes, Mommy. And it's getting in, and they begin to weep, and you're going through that process, and you're at number four, and you've just said a few little corrective words that'll restore. And, honey, I love you. That's why, bam, that's why I want you to learn to be obedient. And then you're, okay, honey, and they know how to count to five really quick, by the way. You know, so they know, Daddy, am I done now? Yes, honey. Are we done? Yes. Next time Mommy asks you to help her with the dishes, what are you going to say? I'm going to say, yes, yes, Mommy. Yes, ma'am. That's excellent. You know what? Let's go try it. Let's go try it. So we'll go in and model that again, and we'll train over and over, train up a child in the way he should go. But there's something I'm telling you right now. If you do this right, this part of it right when they're young. Now, if you've missed it and they're older, then we have to restore relationship, right? We have to focus on relationship. But right now, we're on this part. That while you're reproving and you're chastising, there is a sensitivity and there's a bond that happens between you and that child that you will not experience anywhere else. I'm telling you. It's like, can you describe to somebody an altar experience where you've wept for 15, 20 minutes and you've just felt cleansed from God? Do you know what I'm talking about? Where you've wept before the Lord and you've repented and you know he's forgiven you and the relationship is restored. You feel clean. The guilt is gone. Do you know your immune system is actually affected by guilt? You know that? You can actually affect your immune system by having guilt in your life. So we're trying to alleviate the guilt of a child. You know how many children walk around angry and surly because they're upset? Because you know why? There's no perimeters, there's no relationship restored with anybody, and they walk around with guilt. They're feeling guilty. That's why they feel the way they do. They're angry. Many of these kids out here that are just angry and they have five pierced ears and tattoos, they're rebellious and they're angry because they feel guilt, they feel sick with themselves, and they don't know how to alleviate it. We have the key. We know how. And that's repentance at the altar, and that's changing their lives and getting the Holy Ghost and turning everything around. Well, as a godly parent doing this with a child can restore relationship and build a bond between them that I'm telling you, you'll do less and less of it, and you'll have relationship that you never imagined. Isn't this awesome? The word of God, remember, the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. And while you're speaking as an ambassador for Christ and you're chastising and you're speaking and reproving with that child, not harshly lecturing, but just, honey, next time, boom, you want to say yes, yes, sir, to Daddy when he talks, you know, boom. Those words are getting in it because that's godly. That is godly. That's something that God loves because rebellion is being taken out. See what I mean? You're creating a child of God is what you're doing, and you're obeying him by doing it right. And number five, again, restore relationship. Done with a parent's proper attitude, the rod and reproof can open the child's spirit like nothing else will. I'm telling you right now, you and your child will experience something that you can't even put words in. I can't articulate with you what's felt between you and your child when that's done right. There should be no anger, no malice, no frustration. There should be just a ready and willingness for that child to turn around and say, God, or Daddy, I love you so much. and I want to be right. That's what he's saying in his heart, if he can't articulate it. And you're saying, God, thank you, because you've given me the formula that's right and biblical. And you reach over to that child and you hug him and you say, everything's going to be all right, son. I love you. And man, you're just so special to me. And we're going to do this right. Let's go try it again. And daddy has to get over his tears by putting a smile on, and you know, but it affects me that way, because I know what's happening and I see them turn around and want to hug dad and hug mom, and that's the whole point. Isn't that the point? Restoring the relationship. Don't let them stay in rebellion. They don't want it. They don't want it. They want to be restored and right with mom and dad. And they want to have that healthy understanding between them and their heavenly father. See, if you do it right, and children are resilient. Listen, don't feel hopeless. Don't feel like, oh man, I missed that opportunity. If they're 14 years old, 15, then listen, we need to work on a different area. Just restoring the relationship. Just having a relationship with that child. Always leave hugging and smiling. If they're still angry, we do it all over again. If there's a root of bitterness, I've got to get it out of there. I'll tell you this, with one of my children, I chastised them 29 times. I thought I was going to lose the battle, but I said, God, I got to win. And this was a child that Dr. Dobson would say is a strong-willed child. And but there was just, I had to break the will, not the spirit. I'm going to say that again. I had to break that willful disobedience, but not their spirit. And but when I say 29 times, I mean 29 times of 5 swats. You count it up. I was a mess. I was sweating and crying. My wife was crying. She was in another room just upset. And I knew at that point I had to win. And it was over just table manner stuff. And she was just being, she found her area to be disobedient. And I said, honey, so we'd be done. And she'd sit back at the table and she said, no. And she did that so many times. And then finally, but toward the end, it was no. But she was still wanting to win. And she didn't know that what was happening, you know, that she, yes, honey. Yeah, it was just a bite of potato. It was just one little bite of potato. And because I just wanted her to have a couple of bites from each part of the meal, but she found an area. Listen, it wasn't a potato. It was just something where she was going to see if mom and dad were going to be parents or not. And in her foolishness, that's what she was doing. Oh, I said she. Oh, well. So you know one of my girls are... We're strong. We're very strong with that. Anyway, she finally, after the last time, and it was 2 hours. I was 2 hours going through this and grieving, but I knew, God, you said in your word, you said, I had to keep claiming God's promise. And I've never had to do that again, not one of my children that way. And but I'm just thankful that I knew his word, that I knew that part of it, and that I had to follow through and win. But it was funny because the last part, I was just sweating and just crying, and, honey, let's try it again. And she'd sit up there, and I'd say, okay, honey, you're going to have one bite of your potato, just one bite. She finally said, yes, sir. Why couldn't you have done this earlier? But I won. And since that time, something broke in that willful disobedience at that point. And there was a sweetness that started happening. I can't even describe it. It was just a sweetness that started happening. It's not a quick thing. Now, it doesn't have to be 2 hours. Listen, we don't have time for two-hour deals. It's not that, you know, but you go through the five-part process. And again, with the goal of restoring relationship. And you will see wonderful things happen in your home. And mom and dad, listen, self-control is critical for you. You're an ambassador. Don't take it personal. Their disobedience, you're just carrying out God's orders. And I'll tell them many times, son, I don't want to have to do this. I really don't. I grieve over it, but I'm obeying God. And to do this right, I've got to do it. And I carry it out. And done right, you'll do less and less of it. Remember, chastisement for the present seemeth to be grievous, but afterwards it yields peaceable fruit. There's peace in your home and relationship restored. Parenting is all about balance, and the balance in all of this is delight. There ought to be a whole bunch of fun and delight in your home. There ought to be smiling and I've heard it. You know, isn't there a song that says chords of love? Well, how's that song go, honey? Bind us together with chords of love. Isn't that a neat picture? And really, you know what? We can tie chords together with our children in our relationship. We tie more and more chords by the things we do right. We chastise them properly, restore relationship. We tie chords. We have respect for one another, and there's chords that are tied. But we also cut chords, don't we? We get angry. We lose our temper. We get frustrated. We do things that are improper, and we cut chords. So I want to talk about some of that. I want to talk about binding us together first. Listen to this. Let me tell you this first. All rules and no relationship equals rebellion. All rules and no relationship equals rebellion. But all relationship and no rules equals chaos and discontentment and insecurity and all those other things. So we've got to find where is that balance in there? Where is the continuum? Where biblically are we supposed to be? So let's look at this, binding us together. You want to tie, obviously, more cords than you cut. Is that correct? Are we going to cut cords? We're going to cut cords because I'm human. I make mistakes. I cut cords. So I've got to purposely try to tie more than I cut, or the relationship is totally severed. Isn't that right? So look at that picture. Say I love you a million times a day. We talked about that last night in marriage. Listen, you can't tell your children you love them too much. Verbally tell them. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. Words of encouragement. You know, you wanna say I love you and you're special. And you want to say that. You can't say it too many times. If you don't say it, start. Repent. If you're not, I wasn't raised that way. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how you were raised. It matters what you're supposed to do biblically. God tells you 100 times, lots of times in here, he loves you and he cares for you. He tells us over and over he loves us. In his preaching, he tells us over and over he loves us. Tongues and interpretation, he tells us he loves us. You do the right thing. If you don't do it that way because of family tradition or whatever, then get over it. Repent. Repent is just saying, I'm not going to do it anymore that way. I'm going to go this way. I'm going to do it right. Smile. Smile. Learn to smile. Let there be a happy countenance in the home. And mom, you can bring such a love and a peace in your home just by the smile. You know, we can get so busy about with all the activities and all the things that you don't even think about relationship. It's just get duty. I got to get all this done. It's that Martha spirit. I got to get, Mary chose the better part, the good part, and that was about relationship. Picture a bright future. Remember the 8-cow wife last night? Was everybody here? Picturing a bright future is just look at, son, you're going to grow up and be, you're going to do great things. I see a bright future for you, honey. You're a beautiful young lady. You're going to marry a great man of God, and I just see great things. You're going to get, be educated. If they're in school, you're going to do well in school. You just picture a bright future, and you tell them. You prophesy to your child. You prophesy to them. Take them on donut dates. That's a good way to tie cords. You guys have a lot like lots of neat stuff out here for that. But I say donut dates because it doesn't have to be complicated. We're busy people. Life is getting, it's not getting slower, it's getting faster paced with all the technology and everything. You got to take time out for things. And one of the ways we did it, it was just, you can figure out your own way, but I just said, listen, I'd wake up the kids at 5:30 in the morning, real early, and before I would go to work, and I would take them on a donut date. Sometimes we wouldn't say a word the whole way, because they were just rubbing sleep out of their eye. But they wanted, I told them the night before, slipped them a note and said, I'm going to take you for a donut tomorrow. And they would be all excited. And I'd wake them up, and it wasn't a big deal, really. Sometimes, like I said, not a word spoken, but just them being with me and us having a donut together. And some, like I said, sometimes not a word spoken, but just they love that time with Dad. But other times it was, Dad, tell me about girls or something. You know, and you're like, wow, where'd that come from? You know, tell me about this. And those things don't come out. You can't fashion time. You can't fashion those kind of moments. They have to come out just with quantity of time you spend together. So those neat moments come out from doing those kind of things. Listen, give eye contact. Listen to them. Get down on their level and well, tell me about that, honey. Listen to them. We can be so busy, so distracted by other things that we're, again, not focused on relationship. Let them see that they're important. Dad, we're especially guilty of this, okay? Dads can be so distracted. You know, we're focused on getting the yard work done. We're focused on work. We're focused on the car's got to be fixed. We're focused on, and we're impatient because we're so focused on it that here's the most important thing that could be happening, and that's restoring relationship, having relationship, and we're missing it. We miss it. I'm speaking to me too. We can miss it if we don't change some ways. Write little notes. My daughters, my kids still have little notes that I've written them in the past, and you know they've accumulated bunches of them where I just write them a little note and say, you know what, I was on my way to work and I slipped it in their bedroom. And they would see it on their dresser. And it was just a note of, honey, I love you. You know what? I just was thinking about you, and you're just a special young lady. And I, you know, have fun with school today or do this. And, you know, I mean, just a little brief note, but they would keep those forever. They were just special. And it just, the memories. Meaningful touch. Touch your children. Grab, I mean, dads, you know, ruffle their head and bring them close to you. If you see them walking by you, you know, reach out and grab them and say, you know what, you are the most special young man. I am so proud of you. And just love them, touch them. It's no surprise to me that healing is administered by touch. It transfers from the man of God, you know, the anointing oils and all that. It's all by the touch. Why do we lay hands on those that are sick? Because there's something that transfers in the touch. And that happens with our children. If you weren't raised around touch or love, again, you can change that. You can just change. You can repent, go a different direction. No, I'm not going to do it that. I'm going to touch my children often appropriately and give them a love and affection and let them see how much they're cared for. We all love touch. There's healing and restoration and reconciling in touch. It's a very powerful thing. Awesome thing. Saying I'm sorry. I can't tell you how many times I've told my children I'm sorry. Honey, Daddy was wrong. Will you please forgive me, honey? I've incorrectly punished them. I'm being transparent with you, okay? I've done things wrong. I'm a work in process like all of us. And I've had to tell, but you know what? The Bible says be quick to forgive, slow to anger. I want to be right. And I'll tell them, honey, you know what? It's my excuse when I tell them. And I'll sit and look at them and I'll say, honey, please forgive Daddy. I was wrong when I said that or I did that. Do you realize, son, that I need Jesus just like you do? And they see my reliance and my dependence on God. And I'm having to pray about things and do things right. And they see, you see how healthy that is? But what I'm wanting to do is restore the relationship. I'm sorry. If you haven't said you're sorry to your children, do it. You're heaping on guilt yourselves by not restoring and not saying I'm sorry when you know you needed to. Praise God. Is this all right? I don't want to keep anybody if we're going too long. I'm seeing, but it looks like God's getting his word in. I feel that. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Cutting cords, and I want to talk about those. Calling them names, stupid and idiot and good for nothing. Oh, my word. Oh, my word. The words are so destructive. You know what? If you polled prisoners in prison, you'll find that many times, most of the time, a good percentage of them, a high percentage of them, were told that they would end up in prison. They were prophesied to. You're good for nothing. You're stupid. I even say in that word, isn't that word it's yucky. It's yucky. But, that most people, seriously, in prison are ones that were told they were going to end up there. And they fulfilled the prophecy. If you tell your children stupid, they will be. If they're good for nothing, they will be. So we need to turn that around, don't we? Stop cutting those cords. Our words are powerful. God spoke and the worlds were created. We're created in his image, right? We can do things like as of God, in a sense, right? We're created like him. So we speak and we can create worlds. We create things with our words. Teasing and bullying. Did you know Hitler was bullied as a child? Adolf Hitler? His father bullied him. And he became one of the biggest bullies in history. If we bully our children, we tease them, even tickling them until they can't breathe or they're crying. You've tickled them to the point of crying. You know that's bullying? That's why we have that one general standard that says, it's not fun for all, it's not fun at all. And I totally blanked. If it's not fun for all, it's not fun at all. We have our children say that when they're being provoked with one another. Or even mom and dad, if we're all playing and I'm not having fun, Dad. Okay, honey, I'm sorry. You know what I mean? It's just a way for me to, so we've anticipated, we've talked about those things. I don't want to bully my children because I don't want to train bullies. And I cut strings that way and cords. Only a weak person picks on those smaller or physically weaker than himself. Only a weak person does that. Breaking promises of your word, or not keeping your word with your children, that's cutting cords. Let them see you keep your word. Not all the time can we fulfill that. There's times that you have to say, honey, I'm sorry, my work schedule. But don't be one that continues to tell them you'll take them on a donut date and you never do. Fulfill your word. Let them see your word is worth something. They're going to believe God that way, aren't they? If they're constantly promises broken, how are they going to believe their Heavenly Father? You've trained them to not trust. We want to trust. Embarrassing them, publicly discussing their weaknesses. Oh, he's got ADD or he has this other problem and you're talking in front of other adults or other kids and you're just, he got that problem with big ears from his mom's side, not my side. You see what I'm saying? You're discussing their weaknesses, whether physical or emotional or mental, whatever, and you're humiliating them. You're embarrassing them and you're provoking them. That will cause them to rebel and have a problem with authority and everything. Harsh lecturing and an inconsistent discipline. Listen, when we chastise we don't have to make this long discourse. Just, honey, this is what you did, and this is why you're being, why you're being chastised, or this is why that consequence is on you right now because of, You know, just make it simple. Don't harshly lecture. That's provoking as well. You can see it in their eyes when they're finally being provoked. You want it to stop. Venting your anger on your child. Again, this shows your lack of self-control. Be self-controlled. Don't vent your anger on your child. What's the purpose? Restore. You guys got it. Restore relationship. Being a hypocrite, expecting the child to do what you will not. That's a double standard. Never use the Bible as a whip. There's parents that will, you know what, you did that wrong. I want you to write out of the scriptures, I will not lie, 20 times or 50 times. They will pull the scripture out and use it as a whip. I want my children to love the Word of God. You know, with the rod of the rod, I can put it on a shelf. They don't like the rod, but I put it away. But I want them to love this. This wasn't meant to use as a whip, but parents can use it as a whip, and it just gives them they want to be as far away from that as they can if it is something that they weren't taught to love and cherish. If you talk to your children, you can help them keep their lives together. If you talk to them skillfully, you can help them build future dreams. I like that quote. How often are you when you're with your family, do you think about work? Let me ask this. Or when you're at work, do you feel guilty you're not being with your family? Most of us feel that way, don't we? Huh? If I was to take a poll, there are times that I'm with my family and I'm thinking, man, I need to be working. I need to be doing something, productive. And here I am, I'm really doing the most important thing, but I'm thinking about work. And then because I wasn't with them when I was with them, do you get it? You can be there but not be there. You can be with your children, looking at them and be a million miles away, and they know it. And when I'm at work, then when I'm at work, you know what I'm feeling? Guilty, because I knew that I didn't spend time with my children when I was with them or my wife. I'm doing this seesaw, this teeter totter of emotions. Because when I'm at work, I'm thinking about play. When I'm with my family, I'm thinking about work. So what I'm saying in that, if you understand that, then when you're with your family, be there. It's especially hard for men. I'm telling you, because we're goal-oriented, we want to be productive, we're providing, and we're thinking we're doing the right, but we're not working on relationship. I'm not stereotyping, I'm just saying that men, I counsel, listen, thousands, and I see consistent patterns, you understand? And I'm one. So I have to work on that. Make little rituals. When you're on your way home from work, there's maybe a landmark that you pass that you say, when I get past that landmark, I get on my street, all of a sudden I'm taking the work hat off and I'm putting on the daddy hat and the husband hat. And it's just a visual, it's just a ritual maybe you do or habit you do to put you out of that mindset of work and all the stuff out there and back into, okay, I'm now the role of daddy and husband. And you can listen a lot better. It's just a little skill. And it's something I see so many people struggle with. Okay? I'm just sharing with you hours of counseling and what they struggle with. Remember, success is a few simple disciplines practiced every day. Don't try to eat all this at one in one sitting. Just don't try to do it. Oh, my word. Hallelujah. But just pick up a few. I'm looking at my notes, and there's just lots of stuff that there's so much stuff. How do you guys feel about having more today? If we take a break or whatever, I mean, how would you feel? Brother Sutton, I apologize. I get off in an area sometimes, and a church has certain needs, and I feel it, and I'll spend more time on it. And there's more stuff here, so I can give everybody an opportunity to go ahead and dismiss. Or if we wanted to stay, I can go on. But there's more material here, and it's good. So I've got to ask you, Brother Sutton, what do you think we ought to do? I've spent more time than I've probably got another 45 minutes.
Well, we're all here.
Okay. Okay. And you're dignified and yes. Okay. Well, let me ask you, has this been something that your family can take some nuggets home? Okay. Let's do this. We will take a break, and we'll get started promptly at 12:30. Last time we weren't prompt with a time. But if you have to go, fine. We'll just carry on and continue on. I know I don't know when I'll be back here again. You can read or whatever, but I want you guys to have as much as I can give you, and I just feel that. So 12:30, I'll start again, and I won't keep you longer than probably 40, 45 minutes. Okay, I'll go fast. All right, love y'all.